email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now he finally made it here. Neil Hannon, oh, the Divine Comedy. Yeah. He went to a different radio station. That's brilliant. I love it. I love it.
I'm so sorry.
No, but I would expect it of you, Neil.
No, I'd love to say I just got it wrong. I just wasn't thinking at all. Yeah. I was just on autopilot. Yeah. That's what happened. But anyway, luckily, Dublin is one of the smaller capitals. Yeah.
The last time I spoke to that guy, Ray Darcy, he was here. So I'll go there. Exactly. And it'll all be fine. Yeah. So you're playing in Forest Fest at Emo Village, July 19th to 21st. You're not there for all 3 days. You're there one of the days.
Well, there's a lot of good acts, so I might hang about.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And like, it's going to be a big commute for you because you live in Kildare.
Oh, awful.
This is in Leash.
I know. is it a bit further than Electric Picnic? I don't know, but...
Not from you.
No. We're up sort of the north part of Kildare.
Aha, right. So it might be to Corsmond now.
The roads are very bad down through, you know. If you're going east or west, fine.
Yes.
North-south, not so good.
Not so good. Mm. We spoke to Philip Maher last year, actually. He's the guy who organises the Forest Fest, and he is a music fan, first and foremost. That's his thing. Mm. So he's curated another great lineup. So there's yourself, Human League, Cult, Tony Hadley, others. And your partner, Cathy Davey, is performing. Will she guest with you?
She's actually my wife.
Oh, she's
my
wife, yes. We were just saying before we went
You're living in the past. No. We were always very ambivalent about it. Yes. We just thought we really ought to do the deed.
When did you get married?
Sort of January last year.
Ah, so is that recent?
Yeah.
So I can be forgiven then for calling
you
Cathy
are forgiven.
Thank you.
Forgiveness needed. Yeah, because we didn't have the paparazzi there or anything. Yeah, she's playing, but you know, she might forget because of the rescue.
Because that's her passion, isn't it? And we've spoken to her so many times about it.
Yeah, and you know, her head's not really in the music anymore. But you know, when she actually gets on stage and does it, she loves it. Yeah. You know, playing.
I saw a lovely little clip there of you in some cafe doing a duet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I've been in a lot of cafes doing many duets
with
over
Cathy,
the years.
With Cathy, yes.
Oh, right. Oh, jolly good. Where was that then?
I must do that again sometime.
It's not as if, you know, we do that over breakfast in the morning or anything.
And do you play her your stuff, new stuff?
Rarely, but funnily enough, she commanded me to play the song that I was working on just yesterday. And she liked it. But then again, we both know that, you know, when you are played a new song by your other half, you say you like it. So I don't really know.
Didn't Maeve Binchy and what's her husband? I always forget her husband's name. Gordon Snell.
Oh, yeah.
They had an arrangement where they read each other's work. And they were given a window of 10 minutes. I think, to say what they really felt. And then that was it. Move on. I think that was something like that.
It's just at the moment that you've finished something like a song, certainly, it's you're at your most vulnerable. You're like, nobody else has heard this but you. So this is the first human being in the world who is listening to this. So you just got to be nice, you know, or else it's crushing.
Can you remember the first song you wrote and who heard it first?
It depends, real song or imagined song, because I wrote an imagined song when I was like 6 or 7 called Digital Watch, because that was all the rage back then, like late 70s. And I was walking down the street, want to know the time. I look at my watch. Look at my wrist. I've got a digital watch. And I had it all worked out on the tennis racket.
Right.
But it never sort of came to fruition because I couldn't play. But my first sort of actual song was a sort of a piano piece, rather sentimental, very sort of Radio 2, BBC Radio 2 vibe. I think I called it Memento Mori or something really pretentious like that.
But you know, people call you, they compare you to Burt Bacharach.
Well, I should be so lucky, really.
No, but it is sort of... like these lovely, lush love songs.
Well, I try. I mean, honestly, I think they sort of run the gamut of emotions. I have done the strangest and the silliest as well,
yes, of course,
you know, over the years. Strange, silly, romantic. I got it all.
You've got it all. you got to perform with Burt Bacharach before he died.
Yeah. I don't know how we sort of got the call, but a promoter asked us to support Burt Bacharach in Lyon, in France. And I went... Well, first, my manager said, "You don't support people anymore." I went, "Yes, I do. If it's Burt Bacharach, I do." So we went over there and happily played before him. And I met the man, got a lovely picture that I treasure, you know. And he is just an all-time songwriting icon. Yeah. Because, like, you know, you look at the sort of hits of the 60s, US hits, he wrote about a fifth of them. It's incredible.
And even now, that, like that rapper Doja Cat has sampled...
I don't know who that is.
Walk On By. Walk On By.
Oh, really?
They've sampled that, you know.
Okay.
Which is amazing. So I have an 11-year-old son who's singing Walk On By. Yeah. Like how many years after? 60 years after or more than it was originally written?
At least,
So you met him. They say don't meet your heroes.
Well, he was just a kind of a tiny little old white-haired man,
so,
you know.
Right. So what is it about? Because what is the key to that writing the perfect song?
I'm not telling you. the funny thing is, you know, the longer I do it, the less I want to kind of look into, to sort of philosophize about or theorize about.
Oh, yeah, fair enough,
Because... The more you understand about it, the less easy it is to write something kind of interesting and original. If you know the rules, you know? So I'm constantly trying to throw spokes in my own wheels.
How do you do that?
By, like, starting on a peculiar instrument or sort of setting myself at... I decided recently to write a conga. Because I thought there haven't been many congas in popular music recently.
Not since Agadoo.
Indeed, but I'm writing a conga and it's coming along quite well.
So you start with the rhythm, then, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, quite often the rhythm is a good way to sort of find a way into a melody. Yeah.
We've just remind people of your genius. You don't mind me saying your...
I don't mind it. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's true, but
right,
I don't
mind.
Okay, right.
Pale pubescent beasts roam through the streets and coffee shops. Their prey gather in herds with stiff knee-length skirts and white ankle socks. But while they search for a mate, my type hibernate in bedrooms above, composing their songs of love.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I could sing a lot higher back then. It's strange as you get older. Your voice it changes. Obviously, it does. But I'm, you know, you kind of have to try and find a new way of singing, a new voice, you know.
It's a different key.
I still play it in the old key, Songs of Love, but I just kind of... and it all gets a bit Tom Waits.
I'm in a bar, it's after midnight.
Exactly.
Sort of yeah. And people will recognise that as you know, the theme tune to Father Ted, the instrumental. So... how did that come about? Were you friendly with some of the lads?
I didn't know them at the time, but Graham Linehan was writing for music magazines and he'd reviewed favourably my first album, Liberation. And I think they might have asked Jarvis first.
Jarvis Cocker. Pulp.
Yeah. I think that's the rumour.
Is it right?
You know, he didn't want to. Good on him. Because really,
that Irish
it was.
He's not Irish.
No. What the hell would he know about it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just an enormous stroke of luck because I realised even at the time that just having something, when Casanova came out, which was like the breakthrough pop record, having another angle, something else to talk about in interviews was really useful for everybody.
Well, for you in particular, because you were socially awkward.
Oh, yeah. Still I am.
Does it get any easier, Neil?
Well, it does when you're on a campaign and you're just constantly doing it. You just stop. But, you know, before this interview, I suddenly started to get a little butterfly, you know, even though I've been doing it all my adult life, simply because you're a bit out of practice, you know.
So we'll skip from the small screen to the big screen. So Wonka, like, how did that happen?
Again, none of my doing. Paul King, I always say this, but it's true. I kind of had this master plan. I thought, you know, if I stick at it long enough, people who were fans in the old days will get into positions of great power in the media, and they will come to me, you know. And it worked. Paul King was a fan of the Divine Comedy back in when he was, a student. Yeah. And then when he finally got, like, a movie that was a musical, he said, well, I'll get Neil Hannon to do it. No, I can't believe my luck. And it's a dream job. I couldn't have thought of one better suited to me.
Close your eyes and count to 10. Make a wish now. Open them. Here's a store that's like no other. If it were, I wouldn't bother. Chocolate bushes, chocolate trees, chocolate flowers and chocolate bees, chocolate memories that a boy once saved. Before they melted away, a world of your own.
Like it sounds like a Divine Comedy song in a Wonka movie. You didn't turn your back on your Divine Comedy sensibilities and your way of songwriting.
No, just modified them.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And also wonderful arrangements by my old friend Joby Talbot, who used to be in the Divine Comedy back in the day and then went on to a sort of super composing soundtrack career. So that was a nice sort of getting back together with him. And
was it the BBC Concert Orchestra?
No. It was no specific orchestra. Okay. It's just like all the best players in London.
How many of them?
Just as far as the eye can see in Abbey Road, right. Studio One, you know.
What is that like?
It's really cool, you know. I suppose I've sort of worked with the odd sort of orchestra through my career, so you can become a little blasé, but then when you go in for something like that, and like the whole place is just a hive of activity with literally, you know, so many people working for companies that you don't even know are involved. These Hollywood movies just are so huge. It's like you're just a tiny cog in an enormous machine.
More than a tiny cog, I would say.
Yeah, well, yeah, I greased the wheels.
What was it like seeing it? Were you at the premiere?
It was fantastic. Yeah. Premiere, difficult. The party. I'm no good at the parties.
Did you meet Timothy Chalamet?
I could see lots of famous people from afar, but you can't get to them because there's so many people. I'd met Timothy like a couple of times as he sort of recorded the vocals. I was never allowed to stay while he did the actual vocals because I might have freaked him out. I don't know.
I would say that he probably had a word going on.
I'm not sure he knew who I was, but it doesn't matter. No, he did a fantastic job. I must say, you know, when you think about who could have done it, it might have been a disaster.
He's the quadruple threat. I've seen him on Saturday Night Live and he can sing, dance, rap, act. Like
talented boy.
There's nothing he can't do. Nothing he can't do.
And quite attractive.
So, Forest Fest, Emo Village in Laois, down the road from Kildare, July 19th to 21st, Divine Comedy. Do you like doing the live stuff?
I love playing live. I mean, when it comes to festivals and it's all wet and cold, I prefer it when I'm on stage under the nice warm lights and with all my sort of
Did you go to festivals when you were before you were famous?
One.
Before you
were,
all right.
I went to the trip to Tip I disliked the whole thing so much, I never went back as a punter. I waited for a tour bus to take me.
That's the way to do it. See, your strategy is working out,
really
left, right,
worked.
And centre, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. But, you know, mustn't grumble. It's great to still get the shows.
Yeah. You're still doing what you love doing.
I am, and I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Well, great to see you. Don't be a stranger. And RTE is the place now.
RTE is it? Right.
We're only here 10 years.
Okay. And Brian Cowan's the Taoiseach, yeah? Yeah. Okay.
So will I play a bit of National Express or something for the weekend?
Oh, something for the weekend.
Neil Hannon, thanks again. Thank you very much.
My
That's
pleasure,
it from us.
Ray.